This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for our Monday COVID-19 case update call. I'm Derek Haskins, Communications Director for the South Dakota Department of Health. And this morning I'm joined by Kim Malsom-Risden, Secretary of Health, and Jonathan Steinberg, who is a member of our epidemiology team. He's filling in for Dr. Clayton, who's taking the day off. So I will spell Jonathan's last name for you so you have it. It is Steinberg, Steinberg, Steinberg. So now I'll turn it over to Jonathan, and he will provide our case updates for today, and then we will take your questions.
Good morning, everybody. Today we are reporting 42 new cases, one new hospitalization, zero new deaths, zero newly recovered, and 258 new persons testing negative for COVID-19. And this brings our total COVID-19 case count in the state to 7,105 COVID-19 cases. And this includes 945 active infections and 6,063 recovered. We have 59 individuals currently hospitalized and have reported 97 deaths. Since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, 77,198 total persons have tested negative for COVID-19 in the state. For the community impact map, we don't have any new updates. In terms of new cases per county, there was one in Beadle, two in Brookings, two in Brown, two in Clay, one in Davison, one in Hecken, one in Hughes, one in Hutchinson, one in Lincoln, four in Minnehaha, four in Oglala Lakota, 15 in Pennington, two in Turner, four in Union, and one in Yankton. For cluster updates today, at Smithfield Foods, there's no update to the cluster. There's 849 recovered out of 853 cases. For Demcota Ranch Beef, 166 recovered out of 170 cases. For LSI Jack Lynx, 120 recovered out of 128. For Dakota Provisions, 91 recovered out of 104 cases. And at Aventara Arrowhead, 38 recovered out of 66 residents and staff.
All right, thank you, Jonathan. I'm going to unmute our lines, and then we will take your questions. We're ready for your questions.
Beth Warden with Dakota News Now.
Go ahead, Beth.
Yes, could you tell me how Governor Noem is taking precautions due to the exposure of COVID and the fact that her test was taken before the exposure?
This is Kim Malsom-Risden. I would refer you to the governor's office for questions specific to her situation.
Next question.
Jackie with SDPB.
Go ahead, Jackie.
Thanks. I'm wondering if you can speak to any plans for contact tracing related to the fundraising event over the past weekend, since one of the president's fundraising officials did test positive.
So, Jackie, this is Kim Malsom-Risden again. And again, as a reminder, we don't talk about specific cases in terms of our updates, but any positive case is investigated, and any close contacts that are identified through that process are notified and given instructions to keep themselves and others safe. And so that same process will happen for any future positive cases that are reported.
Next question.
Gordon Richard, Alcester Union Hut tonight.
Go ahead, Gordon.
If the Rushmore event on July 3rd turns out to be a super spreader, that would almost be a case study, wouldn't it? Because you have all their names, have all their addresses. It'd be pretty easy to follow up and treat those folks.
Gordon, this is Kim Malsom-Risden again. Again, the process that is used by our state and other states includes, investigating every positive case, identifying close contacts that person can identify when they may have been infectious. If there is a situation where a person was around others who would fall into the close contact definition who they do not know or cannot identify, then we would look to issue a public notice so that individuals.
Next question.
This is Lisa with Ben Fies with the Plainsman.
We'll go to the Plainsman and then to the Argus Leader.
Yes, on Thursday we had talked about the testing that was done in the state and the possibility of doing public testing, and it was stated that there were over the goal for June done, and in, I guess, all the stated numbers that have come through the month of June, I'm falling roughly 10 to 12,000 short of the number that was stated in that in Thursday's numbers, and just curious what the explanation is there. I think 48,000 was the number that was stated, and I'm roughly 35 to 36 is where I'm at on the spreadsheet I keep.
Sure. So there's a couple of different things that we keep track of, actually many different things. One would be the number of tests administered. That would include both positive and negative results. The other would be persons actually tested, and so those numbers will be different.
Now we'll go to the Argus Leader.
Yeah, this is Lisa with the Argus Leader. Just wondering, at what point will the numbers be reflected in the case numbers of the people who test positive due to the Mount Rushmore event? And just wondering if you're going to track specifically how many cases are connected to the Mount Rushmore event.
So, Lisa, it can take some time before we are notified of test results and over the weekends, and you guys have seen that through the numbers in terms of there can be a delay in getting that information. So I can't give you a firm date in terms of when we will see all test results from anything from a particular event or not, but it's typically within a few days. You know, we look at clusters, associated with employers, associated with events, associated with anything that's in common. And so we would report out any future clusters that meet that approximately 40 number of positive cases.
Okay.
Next question.
Yes, Todd Epp, Kello.com News.
Go ahead, Todd.
After the July 3rd event, my colleagues across the street at Kello Television contacted Maggie Seidel concerning the governor's exposure, and the response that Maggie gave to Angela Kinnicky was, as the governor has said over and over, science tells us not to focus on cases, parentheses, the data set is junk because so many people are asymptomatic, among other things, parentheses, period. The only thing we can reliably look at is hospitalization. So if the data set is junk on the cases every day, why are you all reporting the cases every day if that's not what we ought to be looking at? I mean, that's also prominent on the website. This seems to be at odds with what you guys have been doing since the middle of March.
This is Kim Malsom-Reisden. I can't speak for Maggie specifically about that comment, but I can tell you that there's still a lot we don't know about COVID. And so, the rate of production of antibodies so that we can understand how much of the population has actually been exposed to COVID, whether people can be reinfected or not, or once they have COVID, are they going to be immune and for how long? And so I think that there is still a lot of unknowns that, we know more today than we did even a month ago, but we've got a long way to go towards understanding this disease, and I think that was probably what the comment was in reference to.
So what number should we be focusing on? I mean, you guys go through it every day, or every twice a week now, here's how many people have died, here's how many cases we have, so forth. What is the bottom line number we in the media ought to report on every time you guys have a meeting like this so we can better inform the public?
Well, I think there's several things that most media are doing a very good job with, and that is the number of new cases, the number of people that have active infections, because obviously we've seen people recover, and most people do recover. The number of deaths is, of course, very important, and, you know, we have one of the lowest rates of death per positive test in the country. Certainly the number of people in the hospital and, you know, the burden of hospitalization as a result of COVID and what that means in the state, as well as that number in relationship to our hospital capacity. We want to make sure until we have effective treatments, and until we have a vaccine, that we're able to take care of people. And so that number is very, very important, as well as some of the numbers associated with hospitalizations, including ICU use and ventilator use.
Next question.
Rapid City Journal.
Go ahead.
I just want to go back to the earlier question. Would the Department of Health still recommend that Governor Noem and her family and others close to this person, that they would self-isolate in case of any symptoms, just because it was so quickly of how she got tested after, and just in this case and any other cases, like, is that still the recommendation?
So, again, we can't speak about specific cases, but the recommendation is that any close contacts of a positive case, while that positive case was potentially infectious, would be advised to self-quarantine for 14 days. Now, close contact, just to remind you all, is a person who has been within 6 feet of a person for at least 15 minutes. And there can be other mitigating factors, such as whether that happened outside or inside, and just some of the other particulars of the situation.
Next question.
Is it right or accurate to get tested? Right after exposure, or should you wait until you have symptoms? I guess what's the guidance on that again, too?
So the decision to, this is Jonathan, by the way. So the decision to test would be at the guidance of the healthcare provider, but based on what we know about the incubation period of COVID-19, which we believe to be the early end of that to be about 2 days, it might make sense to, if symptoms haven't developed and the healthcare provider is still wanting to test in the absence of symptoms, to wait till after that lower end of the incubation period has passed before testing.
Next question.
What would that lower end be? Just the 2 days?
2 days. We believe that the average, that the median incubation period is around 5 days, and that the earliest incubation periods that we're seeing are 2 days from the time of exposure.
Next question. Last call for a question.
This is Kelly Hurst from the Press in the Coden.
Go ahead, Kelly.
In the next month, schools are going to be starting up on fall practices again, and in the meantime, I know a lot of schools are going to be making some big decisions. Is the Department of Health going to be having any input on what to do with, say, fall practices? And are you watching, say, what's happening with Major League Baseball? They're trying to crank up and they're getting some positive cases. Is the Department of Health going to be part of that discussion locally or in the state about fall practices coming up?
Sure. So, I know the High School Activities Association has put together a group to look specifically at sports, you know, having sporting events and practices and that kind of thing. And we do have staff in the Department of Health who are participating in that. In addition, we have a group that's comprised of individuals from the Department of Health as well as and is being led by the Department of Education and the Board of Regents, as well as some other state agencies to help schools specifically understand what the guidance is that's available and be able to help answer questions as schools contemplate opening in the fall and what that might look like. So there will be a couple of webinars later this week specifically to help answer some of those questions, and we will continue to provide that assistance, you know, throughout the year.
All right, we have time for one final question. All right, hearing none, we will talk to you again on Thursday. Thanks for calling in.